to make sure that they're paying attention. Good job, Chris Jones. Let's give Chris a big hand. I even had it in my hand before I came up here, but that music just got me, Jerry. It just got me. So we've been talking about those different rocks. We talked about truth. Truth is something we have to have as a rock. We talked about the goodness of God and how much that just affects everything in our life. In fact, starting next week, we're going to start a whole series just on the 23rd Psalm and how the goodness of God just really drives us forward as people of Christ. We talked about Jesus and God being the King and what that means. We talked about the reliability of Scripture and those promises that we can hold on to. And today, we're going into our last rock. And our last rock, and I call it our last one, is a little bit different because what happens from here is after you get these rocks in your life and you start moving down that pathway of whatever you're doing in your life, you get to the point where our paths are going to split a little bit. We get to that point where we're going to take these foundational rocks and we're going to say, what has God put inside me? And how do, in my own unique life, how do I move forward? And so there's lots of different pathways. You know, some of us are here are doctors and teachers and principals and plumbers. And I mean, we've got a vast array of different paths to go on. So the last rock that I want to present today is simply this. The last rock is the principle of the path you choose. The principle of the path. We'll just say principle of the path. And I'm going to fill that out a little bit because here's the last rock that I want you to understand that the path that you take, the path that you take from this point determines where you're going to end up. The path you take determines where you're going to head up. And this principle of the path, it's not something new with me. It's something lots of other pastors have taught. In fact, I've probably preached it here before. But it's a foundational thing I want you all to know. I'll give an example just to kind of to get your mind thinking on this principle of the path. And it's really easy. As y'all see, we're a little bit down today. We had a group of 22 of us go to Glen Rose, Texas this weekend to see The Promise, which is a outdoor amphitheater presentation of the life of Jesus. Incredible. If you ever get a chance to go to Glen Rose, Texas and sit out in a cool air and just see this beautiful production of the life of Jesus. Well, I came back early yesterday, but several of the people stayed over and we're going to go to some of the churches there and encourage the churches in the Glen Rose area. But in this, here's my little story. Me and Mom went with me. We needed to run to Walmart. We were staying in Stephenville, Texas. It was Saturday morning, and we needed to go to Walmart to get something. And we left the hotel, and I looked on the GPS, and the way from the hotel to Walmart looked like a straight shot. You know, so I just put it in there. Yeah, you heard it. You know, I put it in the GPS, and we took off, and we went down, turned around a curve, threw a light, and sure enough, there was Walmart. And so we went in, did our Walmart stuff. I came back out, and I went this, you know, I'm talking to Mom, and I said, well, I didn't say it, but I thought it, I don't need the GPS, right? It's a straight shot. We turn right into Walmart. That means when I go out of the parking lot, I need to turn left. And in just a few miles, I'm going to hit the hotel. Well, about 6 miles later, you know, I'm looking around and I'm seeing a high school football game going on. And I looked at Mom and I said, do you remember seeing a high school football stadium on our way in? And she said, no. And I was going, how did I mess this up? You know, this is how, I guess directionally challenged I am as a person, that I can mess a straight shot up from Walmart to the hotel. Well, you know, I put it in my GPS to see what happened. And as I told you, you know, when you're coming from the hotel, you took a curve through a red light and on to Walmart. Well, that curve was where two roads came together. And as I was leaving Walmart, I should have taken the curve to the right. And instead, I just straight shotted it through the red light that seemed like the right way to go. My intention was to go back to the hotel. That was my intention. But listen, no matter how far I went down that road that I was on, and no matter how much I intended to get to that hotel, I was not going to get to that hotel. Because direction trumps intention, right? If I'm on the wrong road, no matter how much I want to get to where I want to go, I'm not going to get there because I'm on the wrong road. And I want you to think about this. You know, for us in our lives, this is a pretty simple thought when we're driving. You know, where do I want to go and what are the directions to get there? You know, that's pretty simple. But in all our other areas of a life, do we apply this thought? Do we apply the thought of the path with the principle of the path? The principle of the path is that direction, not intention, determines where we're going to go. Direction, you can write that down. It might come in handy sometime. The direction, not the intention, determines where we're going to go. I wrote down some things in my notes here just to kind of remind me of different areas in a life where this applies. You know, financially. You know, how many of us intend to be flat broke? Does anybody here intend to be flat broke? No, all our intentions is, you know, we want to have a savings account. We want to have money to get through the end of the week. We want to, we want God to bless us financially. Our intentions doesn't decide if we get where we want to financially, right? It's our choices, the direction we take. Professionally, relationally, what are you thinking about relationships? You know, do you have a intention? You know, I want to have a good marriage. But no matter how much you want to have a good marriage, if you're on the wrong road for that, you're not going to get there. Morally, spiritually, parenting, you name it. I think God wires us to have good intentions. Most people I know, God has wired us to say, I want the best for me, I want the best for my family, I want the best for my church. We have this inner desire to have things correct. But do we take the time to say, are we on the right path to get there? Let me give you some kind of stronger. Do I have any teenagers in here? Okay, no teenagers today. Oh, I got one back here. Oh, Shay, you need to hear it. That's my daughter. I got a couple of teenagers. Here we go. Dating. Y'all listen up. Your intention is to marry a godly man or a woman, right? That's your intention. You can think about it. It better be your intention, young lady. You hear me? Okay. Your intention is to marry a godly man or a woman, but what is your path? Your path a lot of times for teenagers is, I'm just going to go out with whoever's the cutest, right? Whoever asks. Now, you have the right intention, but if your pathway is, I'm just going to go out with the cutest person I find, those don't, you know, no matter how strong your intention is, that path doesn't necessarily lead to that. Families. How many of you here that have a family go, man, I wish I had a unified family. I wish we did things together. I wish my kids would come and talk to me about problems in their life. I wish that we were just known as a unified family. But, you know, if the path we take is I work overtime every week and I'm not around my family at all, that's not going to get you there. You know, if you have the intention of having this strong family unit, you've got to get on the pathway that gets you there. Future grandparents or grandparents, I want to be around for my grandkids, but is my pathway so I just eat whatever I want to? I just, don't exercise. I just, go out there and, don't worry about my medicine and don't worry. You know, we have this intention is I want to be, you know, around for my grandkids. Okay, I'm preaching to myself here. I want to be around for my grandkids. But am I on the path that's going to get me there? Or are that just my intentions? A few more. Money. I want to be debt-free. I want to be debt-free, right? So I'm just going to run the credit cards up until I get a good enough job that I'm going to have more money to pay off all the credit cards. You know, no. If you're going to be debt-free, you can't go into debt over and over and over again and expect that road to to end up in this direction. Kids, I want to raise my kids in church when they get older. So, but for right now, we're not going to go to church. You know, they're not old enough really for that to affect them yet. Yeah, it just goes the wrong way. Money, I want to be generous, but I don't make enough to be generous. Faith, I want to have a strong faith, but I'm not going to do anything to get that strong faith until the bottom drops out of my life. And then I'm going to ask, why didn't I get to that place where I have a strong faith? So we'll come back to it again. This principle of the path is your direction, not your intention, determines your destination. Now, this is scriptural. I mean, we see it all through the Bible. We see God saying, you know, what's your walk like? You know, follow my decrees. You know, it basically just saying, get on my pathway. But I just want to show you a place in Proverbs. So here's the scripture we'll pull from today. Proverbs chapter 7. Just a great little story by Solomon. Solomon was one of the wisest men that have ever lived. And Solomon one day, back in the Old Testament times, is just sitting and teaching. Oh, a group of young men. And this young group of young men are gathered around Solomon, and Solomon says this day, I want to teach them something. And I think as we look into, here's what Solomon is going to teach these young men, and I think this is what we can extract out of what Solomon's teaching, is that there is a principle to the path that you're on. Here's Solomon, chapter 7 of Proverbs. And verse 6. So picture him sitting down, talking to these young men, and he starts telling this story. It could be a parable for that idea, or whatever you think. It might be a true story. He said, at the window of my house, I look down through the lattice. So he said, let me tell you this story. There was one day I'm up in my house, and I'm looking down onto the crowd of people that are on the walkway. And he says, I saw among the simple, and you know that word, it just means just the everyday people that are walking around. He said, I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men a youth who had no sense. So he said, I looked out there, and he said, all of a sudden I see this kid coming. And I could already tell that he didn't have any sense to him. Now, this is something, a little aside here as we're going through this story. Isn't it interesting that so many times part of our issue is we don't see the trouble that we're walking into? We think we're on the right path. We think the path we're on isn't going to bother anything. We're thinking, oh, you know, I want this, but what I'm doing right here isn't going to cause any kind of issues whatsoever. But God puts godly people in our lives that point it out to us. They'll say, hey, you know what, you're heading down a wrong way, but we just ignore it. And this day, Solomon looks at this kid, and he instantly knows. He said, this kid probably doesn't get it. But I know he's on the wrong path. He said he was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house. So now we enter character number two. There's a lady. At twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in, he said, I saw this kid. He's walking towards this lady's house, and he said, I can see trouble up ahead. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute, with a crafty intent. She's unruly, defiant. Her feet never stay at home, now in the streets, now in the squares. At every corner she lurks. She took hold of him and kissed him, and with a brazen face said, today I have fulfilled my vows, and I have food from my fellowship offering at home. Now, this sounds kind of weird to us. You know, in today's term, you know, if we want forgiveness of our sins, you know, we have the ability through Jesus Christ to boldly enter the throne room of Christ and just say, God, I'm sorry for what I did. But back in this time, they were under the law and under the fulfillment of the law, which means you had to bring sacrifices. So here's a real quick picture. During the week, during the month, during the time in between sacrifices, you kind of had this picture. I've got this big old basket, and all my sin is going in the basket. And I'm sinning, and I'm sinning, and I'm sinning. And all of a sudden, it's time for sacrifice, and I take my big basket of sin, and I make my sacrifice, and now I've got an empty basket. And so she says, today I fulfilled my vows. And he said, I went down and I did my sacrifices, and now I've got me an empty basket. Let's fill it up. You know, that's kind of her thought there. And so I came out to meet you, and I look for you, and I have found you. And I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my beds with myrrh and aloe and cinnamon. You might say, what is that? Well, I mean, it's, you realize back then, personal taking care of yourself wasn't really a big thing in those times. There wasn't deodorant. There wasn't a lot of soap around. So doing something to make things smell better was something really good. And then she said in verse 18, come, let's drink deeply of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. Now, you know, part of me kind of said, well, maybe Solomon's misreading this. You know, maybe that's his wife. You know, maybe he, you know, maybe this works, but no, verse 19, my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money, and he will not be home till the full moon. And in verse 21, it says, with persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with smooth talk. Now, I've just kind of think, now, it's an interesting story. You know, once because, you know kind of heading towards PG-13 and how it's described there. But you kind of put yourself not in the position of the young man, but in his thought process. The thought process of that young man that day was, this isn't going to disrupt anything. This is just something, it's not a big deal, right? This is just something that isn't going to affect the rest of my life. This isn't going to be something, this is a pastime. This is something that is momentary. Her husband, in fact, when she says my husband is gone, basically she's saying, look, we can do this and there will be no consequences for the path that we're fixing to walk on. And how many times does Satan say that to us? Listen, there's no consequences for the path you're walking on. There's no consequences for what you're watching. There's no consequences for the words that you're saying to other people. There's no consequences for the choice of what you do with your time. There's no consequences. Go ahead and do it. Don't worry about it. And here's what Solomon's saying is, Solomon's going, no, it's not a pastime, it's a pathway. Everything, whether we know it or not, has a consequence. And listen to how he says it. He said, with persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. And he said, all at once, he followed her like an ox going to slaughter. He said, there's a consequence, guy. You may not realize it. He said, it's like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his heart. It might take a minute, right? You might just step in here and go, oh, look, I'm safe. And that noose gets around your neck or your foot or your leg. And you say, oh, that's okay. And all of a sudden the arrow comes. Like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. There's consequences. The direction, not the intent, determines where we're heading. And although I'm sure this young man, his intent was, I want to have a good family one day, I want to have kids one day, I want to have this great job one day, the pathway he was on wasn't heading to that. It was heading to death. Now the picture comes back to Solomon sitting back down and talking to the young men around him. He just used this story. He said, now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn her ways. And watch what he says, or stray onto her path, right? The principle of the path. He said, young men, you have a pathway that you're going down. Be careful not to step into someone else's pathway. Many are the victims she's brought down. Her slain are mighty throng. And then watch this last line. You know, we used that song to come up here, life is a highway. He said, her house is a highway to the grave. He said, some of the choices that you'll make put you on a pathway that's heading straight to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. Now, you might say, Blake, you know, That's a pretty big example. You know, in my life, I'm not doing what he's doing. But I come back to say, what is your intent in your life? Where do you want to be as a person? Where do you want to be as a husband or a wife? Where do you want to be as a church member? Where do you want to be as a professional person? What's the intent? And are there things that are pulling you off that pathway and onto another pathway that will keep you from reaching what God has put into your heart? I want to give you three ways this morning. Three ways to kind of come back and to look at that over and over and over again in your life to say, this principle of the path, how is it applying to me? Do I have the right intentions, and am I on the right pathway? I'm going to use three objects this morning to kind of help you see, to remember the three points that I'm going to give you on how to apply this. And that is a pencil, an empty box, and a Dr. Pepper. A pencil, an empty box, and a Dr. Pepper. Now, I'm just going to do these real quick. The pencil. The pencil is point number one. If you want to say, God, I want to have the right direction in my life. I want to figure out where I'm going. The first thing I'm going to say is, you need to write down somewhere the destination that you want in your life. Now, it could be an overall, this is what I want to do with my life overall, or it could be in a particular area. You know, like I said, maybe as a father, you should say, man, I want to just stop for a second, and as a father, say, here is what my desire, my intention is to be in life. Maybe as a wife, maybe as a daughter or a son, maybe as an employee or a boss. Or it could be overall. This is kind of where I want my life to go overall. And let's say it doesn't matter what age you are. If you're 18 or 80, you can say, for this part of my life, here's what I want. In fact, I said with a pencil. Because, listen, you might not even know. You might kind of have a general. In general, I want to be a godly husband. But over time, you're going to want to clarify that a little bit. You might put down, I want to be successful, on your list. But over time, you might say, what does successful mean? I mean, I heard this week that Tom Brady, one of the richest guys, a successful football player, is getting a divorce from his wife, a supermodel. Is that success? Did he have success or failure in life? You would think, man, if you make millions of dollars married to a supermodel and six times, pro Super Bowl champion, that's success. But you might want to come back later and go, I don't want to be successful. I want to be, I want this part of my life this way or that part of my life this way. You might want to redefine things. But take time to write it down and keep on clarifying it. Well, I had a real good clarifying statement that I learned this week. I'll kind of set this up. One of the things I want in my life, and one thing I want for our church, is for us to be a praying church. And I want to be a praying pastor. And I kind of go, God, I know that I can pray, but I want to say I want to be better at that. So if direction, not intent, says, this is where I'm heading. I said, okay, I want to do things in my life to become a better in the prayer life. So I joined this thing about four or five pastors, and we're doing like a 5-week thing on how to have transforming prayer life in your life. And it's kind of a coaching thing. And the coach this week got on, and he prayed for us at the first of it. Guys, I want to just thank you for these men that are here. And he prayed and prayed and prayed. And at the end of it, he did the regular old, in Jesus' name. Now we do that, right? When we pray, I do it. I find myself doing it because in Scripture it said anything that is praised, prayed in the name of Jesus will be answered. And so we kind of tag it on to the end of the prayers. God help me, my family this week. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, he said, help these guys. He said, in Jesus' name. But instead of saying amen, he said, because. And I remember in the prayer, because. And then he said, because these men have the possibility of impacting thousands of people for the gospel truth of Jesus. Amen. And a little bit later, he said, now, you didn't pick up maybe on your first lesson, but he said, here's your first lesson in prayer. He said, I learned this a long time ago. He said, don't just say in Jesus' name. Because he said, when you say in Jesus' name, he said, it's too easy for that to become like rubbing a genie lamp. You know, I want $1 million in Jesus' name, amen. Bible said, I prayed it in Jesus' name. He said, I saw that in my life. He said, I was just throwing in Jesus' name on every prayer. And he said, and so what I decided to use this clarifying statement, because. He said, I want to make sure that when I pray something in Jesus' name, I say why this would be in Jesus' name. Why what I just prayed would line up with Jesus' name. And so he said, so when I hit because, he said, you know, that's when I said, because I know God would want to bless you because you have the ability to affect thousands of lives. And that kind of let me know, wow, I'm praying in Jesus' name right there. He said, there's a lot of times when I'm praying in prayer, and he said, I'll hit Jesus' name and I'll say because, and he said, I'll realize that the stuff I just prayed for really wasn't in Jesus' name at all. He said, there's not a because. And he said, I'll stop and apologize to God, start over again. And I thought, how powerful is that? How powerful is just that one statement? You kind of say, I want to be a better husband, but how about doing this? I want to be a better husband because this is going to affect my kids for the rest of their life. This is going to affect my grandkids. Because my wife is trying to do that as a mother, and when I'm a bad father, I'm messing up her potential to affect my children. Because suddenly clarifies that thought. And so here's your first thing is once a month, just kind of get that list out and review it. You know, can I clarify my list just a little bit? To say, this is my direction. This is why I'm doing it. So point number one is to write down your destination. You don't have to be perfect in this because you're going to be clarifying it along the way. Point number two is the box. The box says this, once a month, let's say just on the first Sunday of the month, you don't have to have a real box. I mean, I know y'all have boxes. They've got those little Amazon smiley faces on there, right? I mean, we all have boxes. But, you know, get something. I just like something to think about. You know, even if you're not carrying one, you kind of think, I've got a box here. And I want to think about what I did last month. What I did last month. Did what I do last month, can I put it in my box as saying, this helped me towards my destination? Or do I look at it and go, boy, I did that, but that's going down a different pathway completely? And just kind of at the end of the month, do a review and say, how many things did I do to intentionally put me on the right path to where I want to go? Boy, that'll wake you up, won't it? It really will. You know, when you say, I want to be a better father, I want to be a better mother, I want to be a better worker, I want to be, you know, whatever, and you look at your box and I went, boy, I went a whole month and I didn't put anything in the box. There was nothing I did that moved me closer to my goal. Well, the next question is, what did you do? Yeah. Man, I watched a whole season of some show. Well, you know, you could say, boy, I want to find times to relax and to rest so that I could better do my job. But or you could really be honest with it and go, man, I just wasted about 20 hours of my life right there that didn't get me where I wanted to go. Take that time to kind of clarify. And this is another place that because works really good. Because, you know, for students, you might say, I want to be this in my life. And you could say, okay, I went to school every day. We're going to put that in the box. That was getting me closer to my goal. But right there, how about doing this? How about asking, I went to school because. I went to school because. Because so many times we do things not for the right reasons. I went to school because my parents made me go to school. I went to school because I just needed to get through this week. I studied the last minute for that class because I just needed to. You know, it wasn't, you did it, but it wasn't for the right reason. And that's for us too. How many things do we do? I went to church. Put that in my box. Well, you went to church because. Because you wanted to get to know God better? Or because that's just what you do on a Sunday morning? What's your because? Listen, wouldn't that be neat to end the month, pull out that empty box, and just start thinking, oh, I did that this month. Oh, and I did that this month. And I did that. And suddenly you go, man, I'm on the right pathway for my destination. The last one is the Dr. Pepper. Do I have any Dr. Pepper fans in here? Waco, Texas, right? Dr. Pepper Museum. Listen, I'm gonna share a quick story that I heard this morning. So it's not gonna be the most in-depth story, but I just said, oh, that's it. I was kind of praying, what can I use right here, God? The last point is, find something to motivate you towards where God wants you in your life. The story of Dr. Pepper, there's about, I think they said, 6 or 7 different origin stories for the name Dr. Pepper. It was back in the 1800s, so nobody really knows why this guy chose Dr. Pepper as the name. But one of the stories, and it has some proof behind it, was that this young man, I've already lost his name, but that's okay, you don't need to know his name. His name wasn't Pepper, and it wasn't a doctor. In fact, he was a pharmacist. And the story goes like this, that he was in North Carolina before he moved to Waco, just starting out working in a pharmacy shop. A doctor in town owned this pharmacy. The kid was there working in the pharmacy shop, and the owner's daughter came in. And he fell madly in love with the owner's daughter. And so what he decided to do was, you know, he was in charge of the soda fountain. And so he started making this concoction of stuff. And she came in one day and he said, man, I made this particular concoction of stuff for you. And she drank it, and you know, I'm sure it wasn't just the Dr. Pepper, although I could see Dr. Pepper being something that you would fall in love with somebody for. But because of the doctor, I mean, of that soda, not because of, but it, with the inclusion of the soda, they started dating and seeing each other, and there was kind of a love started there. But then one day, her dad, the doctor who owned the shop, came in. And he went up to the young man. He said, I'm going to ask you to stop dating my daughter. He said, I want my daughter to move up in society. I want her to marry someone with a future. He said, I want her to marry a lawyer or a doctor or something like that. And she is not old enough to make these decisions right now, so I'm going to make it for her. You don't need to see my daughter anymore. The story goes, the young man left there, moved to Waco, Texas, opened his own pharmacy there with this thought of, I'm going to prove him wrong. And as he went about doing the pharmacy, continuing working on the concoction, finally he came up with this flavor of soda. And here, and like I said, there's part, you can look in and see there's some truth in all this. He named it after the father that told him he was never going to be anything, Dr. Pepper. And I just thought, if that's true, he had something that motivated him. He had something that said, I'm going to be something because of what this man said to me. And I could see him going out every day and say, would you like some Dr. Pepper? Would you like some Dr. Pepper? And each time he just thought, listen, I'm going to be something. And I want to challenge you to find that in your life. Find something where you say, this is who God wants me to be. God wants me to be more than just the average person that goes to church on Sunday and just lives a normal life. I'm going to be a person that is full of faith. I'm going to be a person that prays. I'm going to be a generous person. I'm going to find these scriptures, these promises in the Bible, and I'm going to start betting my life on it. And maybe it's just a bottle of Dr. Pepper. It's just that thought to you of going, I want to be motivated to be on the right path. So as we reach this last rock, I want you to go back and review on the goodness of God. I want you to go back and just think about Jesus as our King and our Lord. I want you to go back and review the scriptures and just say, oh, how true this is. But then I want you to think, now from that, where does God want me to go? Where does God want us to go as a church? And then let's write it down. Let's come back and see, are we doing things to get us there? And let's stay motivated every day to make those wise choices that'll get us to the destination we want to go. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you this morning for just that story of the young man and having to choose pathways. And God, I know every day I have to choose pathways. God, I know every day that the people of our church have to choose pathways. So God, right now, I'm just praying in the name of Jesus because you love these people here. And God, you've got the best in mind. You're a good God. God, that you love our church. God, that you would give us a sense of purpose and direction and destination as your children. In Jesus' name, because of your love, amen. Well, we open up this time right now just as a time of response. If God's working in your life and you need somebody to pray for you, I'd love to take that opportunity to pray. If God's calling you perhaps to join in our fellowship and to move forward with us in our purpose as a church, which is to grow and to reach this community, we'd love for you to be part of the family. Or maybe today, you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior. I did that funeral this week of a man who didn't have Jesus as his Savior. And I stood in front of that crowd this week and I said, here's what I know. I know if he ever truly met Jesus, he would have loved him. He would have really loved the true Jesus. And I said, without a shadow of doubt, I know this, that if he ever met Jesus, Jesus would have loved him too, because Jesus went to every kind of sinner, every kind of hurt person, and he expressed the love and forgiveness of a good God. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that he rose from the dead, you will be saved. I'd love to tell you more about asking Jesus in your heart. As we stand, as we sing.